Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Delve by Matthew Peed, narrated by Gabriel Vaughn and Eva Kaminsky. Chapter 1. Reagan. A few days had passed since I got back to my main corps after my near death and brief imprisonment by destruction and creation. I would have to hope they weren't too angry that I managed to leave the way I did. Just trying to clean up the mess that was going on in my aura took a solid day of carefully crafted magic tech. I had to spend the time, though, as I couldn't have mana-resistant beasts popping in and out of my dungeon whenever they felt like it. My new core was starting to remind me even more of a Dyson sphere. I'd had to create plates of mithril adamantium to house the spell construct that stabilized the space-time fluctuations in the influence of my dungeon. That stopped the creatures from forming cracks. Still, more investigation was required into the source, as it wasn't a permanent fix. The energy needed to power the stabilization was quite high. I had 3 phylum reactors for it alone. The issue, however, was that the mana expenditure continued to rise. It was increasing slowly, but it told me something very wrong was happening outside the space-time field of the planet. It was an issue that I would have to handle as soon as I could afford to spare the time. For now, I had given out missions to my people to get many of my affairs in order. I was tired of being on the reactive side. It was time to be proactive. The various objectives were set for the people that I felt were best suited to complete them. I had Puppet and the others heading down to find Luella. They were used to working with each other, and I felt like I could trust them to find out what the situation was down in the beneath. Next, Ezal and her boy toy were back in the valley working to keep order while Luella was gone. Videtta had been prepared relatively well for a long drawn-out war with Thonica, thus they were operating almost on autopilot, country style. The glass tablets had been so integrated in their government that I could keep tabs on everything going on. There were a few issues, but everything was safe for the moment. I needed to give Luella credit. She must have known that I would be able to tap into them, and she still made the decision to use them in her government. Either way, I was getting the information to Ezal so she could act on it as she saw fit. I felt it was best if the mortals governed themselves. That being said, I was dealing with the more sinister issue with a small force of librarians. Elements that had managed to get to the valley through legitimate means, but have since soured into problems. More than one person had illusions of grandeur after they saw the power available to the valley. The mood in the city had improved after the interdimensional beast stopped appearing and slaughtering groups of people. Guards also seemed to appreciate the chance to relax some. Having to worry about responding to something that could rip them apart certainly would cause some stress with your job.
Master, when are we going to leave?
I glanced at Julie next to me before I turned back to the screen in front of me. Soon.
Father, we need to end these enemies once and for all. Their threat has lasted for much too long.
Looking to my other side, I grabbed Anubis's shoulder. You're quite right, but we can't run off into the sunset. Things are not as they should be. Something is working behind the scenes, and I can't tell if it is related to the necromancers, the celestials, some long-dead race, or something else that could inhabit this universe. He nodded seriously, though I could tell he still wanted to hurry the forces.
I understand. I just worry for the Lady Alara and my brothers and sisters.
I gave him a smile. Anubis was probably one of my strongest assets against the undead threat, but I would much rather treat him like my son. I might have plenty of ways to create weapons, but I didn't want that to be my driving force forever on this planet. For these reasons, it made me glad that he treated the others of the dungeon as his family. I know, soon. There are only a few more things before we leave. I turned back to the screen and continued to calibrate the sensors. I had come a long way to fusing Earth technology and Mergen magic. My magic tech was unique in this world, with the constructs of the millennium gone Arcaran race being the only thing closest to it. They were hailed as peace lovers and scholars, but after my encounters with the construct, I wasn't sure if that was the truth. Just from Earth, I knew that history had a way of being distorted by the victors. While I was trapped in the subdimension, and the time since I returned my satellite network had continued to expand without pause, faster even, as the addition of the Lycol in the station had increased my mana absorption for that aura, I had most of the Arayo continent covered by this point. I was calibrating the satellites to find concentrations of high latent mana. I wanted to map the flows of mana, at least in this section of the world, as I'd found that most of the cities were built on ley lines. If the ancients were smart enough to do that, then I might find even larger secrets hidden away. I was tired of things popping out of nowhere, thus it was time to be proactive in hunting these issues down. With a few last formulas entered, I deactivated the screen. It would take a while to analyze everything. Just the continent of Arayo was the same size as North and South America merged with a few bits of Africa from Earth. It was a lot of land to cover, and the recent incident has already proven that the surface wasn't everything. Ignea, my fairy appeared a moment later.
Yes, Father?
Implement the variations once the drills hit the depth to allow them. I can't sit back and allow my main core's development to be hindered with the level of the powers that are moving in this world.
I will see that it is done. When do you think teleporting will be feasible again? Some of the mortals are cut off from their families that were in Tear Falls.
I don't have a timetable for that. It is expected to be a while. When Azura finishes her project, travel should resume to some semblance of normalcy.
Got it.
How is Glint settling in? I was worried the fairy would be lost or sad with being separated from his former master's core. He had Lena and Ignea, but it would still take time.
Okay, for the most part. He likes hanging around Nova, of all people.
Might be due to their similar elements. Whatever helps with his transition, I said, giving her a shrug. I went through and made sure that everything was settled and would be stable until I returned with Alara. With a nod, I turned to Julie and Anubis. Time to go. I moved us to the newest ship from my assembly lines, the only form of teleporting that remotely still worked. Even with just this, I felt like I got a splitting headache for a moment. It was already harder than the last time I teleported just myself a few hours ago. Much more, and I wouldn't be able to teleport even the small distance between Steel Spire and the valley. If I didn't have so many more pressing matters, I'd likely turn all my resources toward figuring out the cause. I shook my head and looked ahead as we stood on the bridge of the vessel. Named Winter, it was ready to take on anything that the Lich Corps, the core that Alara was heading to deal with, could think to throw at it. It was probably the safest place out of all my cores, besides my main core, which I had beefed up again. I made a smirk. Every time I claim that, something comes along and proves me wrong.
Something funny, Master?
I laughed, having been caught. Just thinking how the universe works sometimes.
Indeed. Less than a year ago, I was a nobody that murdered for sport. Today, I am Master's instrument of death. Definitely a change for the better.
Julie adopted a face-splitting grin before she latched onto my arm. It was to the point that I just ignored her when she did it. It really has been less than a year. I thought about when I arrived in Mergen. It was towards the middle of spring. Now we were halfway through winter. I flexed my hand, fascinated by how far I'd come in such a short time. Some of the reports I'd read, gathered from the locals, stated that some dungeons only had 30 or 40 floors for decades. I certainly broke the curve on that one. Julie strode forward and threw her arm out.
All forces ready for launch!
All around us, screens flickered as the Third Fleet rose into the air from the Steel Spire. Watching the 50 ships ascend, I wondered if it was overkill. I decided better to have more than not enough. 50,000 automata between Tier 2 and 3 should be a nice bat to the face to the necromancers. Commence operation! With a roar, the ships began to head east. We couldn't cross the mountains due to the ley line that capped them. My bigger ships could survive it, but some of the smaller vessels would be torn apart in the process, not to mention what would happen to the beings made from manna and metal. Many of my children would short-circuit. The day detour was the better choice. Any news on the whereabouts of... I paused, trying to remember her name. Helicilia?
No. Both the traitor princess and the lich have no definite answers. She could be at their capital or hiding in a hole.
Julie replied, shaking her head. The two had been captured by her when she was working on my challenge for her to cross the dead scar. It was a nice little boon to have some actual higher-ups from the necromancer team for once. I rubbed my chin in thought. That's unfortunate. She's as big a problem as that Cassin. She needs to be dealt with. I wasn't comfortable about the fact that necromancers were led by a celestial, but I still hadn't really gathered much information on them to know how big a threat they are. Given my penchant for making enemies of them, I needed to find out who I could pump for answers soon. As the ships moved towards the pass to the north, I went to check on Rockrus. He was being restrained in the medical ward of the ship. His body was contorting as it was being broken down and reassembled. I'd had to restrain him, or he'd have hurt himself a while ago. I had started the transformation process for him much like Julie's, only I'd taken a different route. Nanites, similar to the ones created to combat the demon race, were transforming his body at the molecular level. I wasn't sure what he would be when it was done, but just in case, I'd placed barriers around the room to keep any more Celestials from getting any funny ideas. On watch was Dwee Lin, the lightning Celestial that had sworn to serve me. His body had been tricky. His soul was already past Tier 4, so the body needed to be in the end zone of Tier 3 to support it. What I ended up with was a robot that reminded me of Thor, the god of lightning in Norse mythology on Earth. Ironically, his weapon of choice was the hammer. "Any improvement?" I asked once I stood next to him.
"The unholy manna has been cleansed from his body. The changes continue. I have been watching for any of my brothers or sisters, but your barrier is a piece of art. I don't think anything could see past it even if they wanted to."
"Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I will not allow a third time to happen," I muttered. Just the thought of the shadow being that had waltzed into my dungeon while I was fighting Alara and taken Reed's body made me angry. Luckily, the culprit was lying low, but I didn't plan to trust that that would be permanent.
"What do you mean?"
"First, there was you. Then some shadow celestial snagged a body from my dungeon a few months ago."
I could think of a few individuals. If you had any details for me to go on, I might be able to narrow it down."
I was away for the incident, unfortunately. He created a portal to what looked like a shadow realm, I said.
"Xenio or Cassin, then. They love to stay in that nasty realm,"
Dwee Lin replied with a shudder. "Nasty?"
"Maybe weird is better. Everything just feels wrong. Black and white. Creatures that shouldn't exist. Have you ever seen a person inside out? Go to the Shadow Realm."
I couldn't help but chuckle at his distaste of the place. "Sounds like a nice place to vacation."
"Quite true. The stories that have been told of the place are enough to cause nightmares. Actually, seeing the place has killed people in the past."
"Noted." I thought about some of the horror movies they had made back on Earth. I knew of a few that had managed to cause heart attacks and seizures. The question was, how much did human imagination line up with this world? It would be interesting to find out. I turned back to the window as Rockrus's body calmed down for the moment. I shifted my gaze to Manna to check his body's progress. It will be a few more hours at the least. He could have ended it, but he is striving to something new personally. It will take a while.
"I will be here to watch until the end. Just do me a favor and keep that Julie woman away from me."
"You called?"
the person in question said as she wrapped her arms around mine. With her increase in power, if I wasn't paying attention, she could sneak up on even me. Dui Lin quickly made a smile.
I was just saying that it would be better if you stayed near the master. You never know when he might need your assistance with something.
Julie made a wide grin.
You are absolutely correct, she exclaimed as she tightened her grip on me.
I just released a breath of steam.
I'll leave him to you then, Dui Lin, I said as I turned and started heading back to the bridge,
Julie refusing to release me the entire way.
Chapter 2 Helicilia.
This was a nightmare. Those accursed metal creatures had managed to cut the undead scar in half. The only saving grace was that I had made it through the pass before they managed to do so. Now I was sitting in the capital, unable to do a thing about the situation. It was like the world was rejecting us. To make matters worse, none of the masters were able to call on Cassin anymore. While I glared at my desk, wondering what we needed to do to turn this around, the door burst open. I raised my glare at the person who was about to die for their foolishness. Jin and Finn stood on either side of the double door, breathing heavily, a state I'd never seen them exhibit. What is the meaning of this?
Mistress, the dungeon?
Before Finn was able to finish his sentence, a blade burst from his chest. Jin screamed and ran inside. The blade pulled free, and Finn's dead body dropped to the ground, only to rise to its feet a second later, the green flames of undeath emanating from his eyes. I activated a barrier that was built into an old dungeon core. It flashed around the room before any of the undead could get in. That didn't stop them from starting to beat it with their weapons.
Jin, what is going on? I shouted.
Jin collapsed to the ground with her head in her hands.
The dungeon? He's gone mad? Zushuk already slaughtered all the lesser necromancers. We had no choice but to flee here.
Zushuk, I know you can hear me. What is the meaning of this?
I shouted into the air around me. There was silence for a few heartbeats. Then a dark laugh sounded all around us.
You and your associates have outlived your usefulness. Fool, I have been nothing more than a pawn in a higher power's game. I'll show everyone that you do not treat Zushuk as a tool.
A pressure suddenly appeared around the barrier, much like a hand threatening to break an egg. I figured we had less than a minute before the Lich was able to force his way through. I dropped in my chair, the world threatening to fade to darkness. It was ironic that I would be killed by the undead. Finn just started to sob. She would be no help.
Help? I gulped as I thought about the one way I might be able to survive this.
Zushuk, I don't want to die. Thus, I would like to bind myself to the dungeon.
The pressure around the barrier dropped considerably. I held my breath as I waited for his decision.
That is an interesting idea. Yes, I will make you my pawn. You will know the feeling I have suffered.
I ground my teeth to keep from retorting. I knew exactly how he felt. Cassin had been using all the necromancers as pawns. I put on a smile, knowing he could see me.
Yes, teach me. Then, as a matter of good faith, lower your barrier, and I'll do as you want.
I hesitated, but the pressure started to increase again, letting me know that he would get through it one way or another. I waved my hand over the sigil, and the barrier vanished. The undead at the door rushed in and aimed their weapons at me, but made no other movement.
There! Your turn to uphold our bargain.
As you wish.
Orbs of mana formed around me. I could feel such dense, dark, and unholy mana coming from the core that I worried about whether my body could take it.
Put some blood in the orb, and you'll bind yourself to the dungeon.
Taking a letter opener off my desk, I did as instructed, A green ball of unholy mana floating in front of me flashed red, before the dozen other orbs all flew into my body with incredibly searing pain. I couldn't hold back the scream that tore from my body. My body started to violently change. It must have lasted nearly 10 minutes before I felt that pain start to subside. That's when I heard something. A small laugh. Painfully, I managed to turn my head to see Jin standing over the barrier stone. Suddenly, she started to laugh insanely.
"Fool! You're all fools! Time for me to get my revenge!"
Jin's body burst in a spray of gore, covering every inch of the room in flesh and blood. A woman made from what appeared to be shadows stood in her place. The mana in the room reached a new peak as she dove into the dungeon core crystal.
"No!"
Zulshuk shouted, before the world turned sideways, as the room I was in was torn to shreds by the massive amount of mana that was released. Still unable to move, I was pulled into the ball of shadows that was rippling out from the core. My head collided with something, and the world went black. I groaned as the world came back to me. I wasn't sure how long I was out, but that wasn't the first thing on my mind. I could feel that my soul was bound to someone, but it wasn't who I expected it to be. I looked up and saw the woman made from shadows. After looking at her close to a minute, I realized it was the Spectre Queen that commanded the Spectre Army. I'd gotten a report she'd been defeated, but considering it had come from Jin, that was suspect now.
"Good, you're awake."
I felt something grip my body as I started to float. Shadows rippling off her like cloth, she sat on a grand throne as specters moved around her.
"I wasn't about to let the old bastard have you. No, you're going to serve me for the rest of your duration on this miserable plane."
"Why?" I asked, barely able to get the single word out from the pain I was feeling.
"Why? Because the monsters you, that crusty lich, and the piece of shit Celestial Cassin created, tore my village to pieces, then forced me to serve you along with the souls of my family for 6 decades. You have to pay for the wrongdoings of your forebearers, as you've done a wonderful job upholding the family business."
I tried to struggle to free myself, but only after a moment did I feel a ball of heat deep in my chest.
"What did you do to me?" I asked with a gasp.
"You don't suffer damnation without learning a few tricks. There is a ball of my shadows inside your heart. If I die, or you attempt to betray me, well," she said, then made a bursting motion with her hands.
I just stared at her for a minute, then dropped my head. It looked like, no matter what, I would never truly be in power. Cassin, then Zulshuk, now this person. I would always be doomed to suffer like this. I looked back at her. "Very well. I can see that my fate is sealed. I will serve you."
"Good."
The pressure holding me vanished, and I fell to the ground. I pushed up from the ground and got to my feet. Now that I was adjusting to the body and wasn't worried about getting crushed, I could feel the immense power filling me. If I had known this was the reward for binding myself, I might have done it a long time ago. "What is the plan now, mistress?"
"Survive," she replied.
A second later, the room we were in shook.
Zulshuk didn't take too kindly to me ripping half of his aura from him. We'll need to kill him.
Kill him? He's a tier 4 dungeon core with over 200 years of experience. How the fuck do you plan to do that? I yelled, only to drop to the ground as pain flared in my chest.
"Don't worry. We're about to get some help."
"Help?"
Chapter 3. Alara.
"We'll be there in an hour." I nodded. "Thank you, Jarvis. Hopefully we can finish this and head home. The scouts say that it is a field dungeon."
"Yes. That will mean we can enter via the sky much easier than it was in your case. If Sir has allowed us to drop a starfall, we could have ended this in a moment. But given the damage we caused with the first, he has ordered it sealed. That hurt, I said, as the memories of the weapon that fell from the sky flashed through my head. It managed to cut through nearly half of my dungeon in seconds, and completely obliterated the top 20 floors. I felt like someone had ripped my limbs off and started to beat me with them. Actually, the necromancers had done that to me, and it hadn't hurt as much as Reagan's weapon. My apologies for the sir. He just wanted to get to your core as fast as possible. I know. He has apologized many times since then. Reagan had done a lot to help me. I knew he only had good intentions when using the weapon. He had just underestimated its power. Not the first time I'd seen that happen over my life.
Visuals coming in!
I turned towards the screen and saw the northern capital Selmoor in front of us. Or at least, part of it. A sphere of darkness dominated a large section of the old city. Spectres could be seen flying around the phenomena. Black arcs of mana covered the sky around the capital. I stood from my seat and moved closer to the screen, trying to get a better view. "What is going on?" I asked the officer.
"Unknown. If the readings are accurate, there are 2 dungeon cores there."
"That's not possible. How could a dungeon core get that close? Once their aura touch, they get locked in place," Jarvis said. He moved to another terminal and started going through the data. "I can sense 2... mines close by. I believe the officer is correct," I said with a shake of my head. "Should we stop the advance?" Liz asked worriedly. "It's too late," I replied. A moment later, Alpha came to a violent stop as the aura of the core made contact with the aura around the city. "We should have another 2 kilometers before we contact the aura," Jarvis shouted, getting agitated for the first time.
"The situation has obviously changed. We need to stay back until we can get some information on what exactly is happening," Wilson said from Liz's side.
"Looks like I'm about to find out," I commented, before my mind slipped into the dungeon communication link. My side of the link formed a tree, with Reagan's circuits engraved on the surface, likely due to me using his core at the moment. I braced myself to take in my old enemy. I looked up, expecting to see the Lich. What I got was the Spectre Queen, from when Reagan freed my dungeon a few months ago. She sat on a throne that appeared to be made from living shadows. I thought I could see faces form, as if something was trapped in the shadows. The rest of her side of the mental link was blank, a black canvas that hadn't been painted with color yet.
"Lady Alara, I was not expecting to see you again.
Where is the one that core belongs to?" "He allowed me to borrow his core. What is going on here?" She ignored me and started muttering to herself.
"Damn it. This wasn't part of my plan. I was hoping the one that defeated you was coming."
"You got me. What is going on?" I said with some anger.
"Revenge. I am going to kill those that caused this to happen to me."
"That doesn't answer my question," I replied. "I wish Reagan was here. He had a talent when it came to dealing with crazy females, myself included. I missed him." She glared at me for a second.
"I fused with a dormant dungeon core and ripped part of the Lich Zulshuk's aura from him. I want us to join forces and kill this bastard once and for all."
I looked her over, but decided she wasn't lying. She didn't have much to gain from lying other than her own life. This would put pressure on the Lich Core either way. I would have to watch my back until this was over. I wasn't a stranger to not trusting people. The only being I would fully trust would be Reagan. "Very well. We will help you. For now, do anything to betray this trust, and you'll find that Reagan's children are very capable."
she seemed to calm down.
Of course, Lady Alara.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?